GAA on Off the Ball.
Yeah, so if Mór Trasna Cali and I ever dreamt of working for Galway Bay FM, this is kind of our half hour of glory. And we must mention another Galway woman, Lisa Lawler, who texted in. Good news story is Galway Camogie and ladies football contesting 3 adult All-Ireland finals.
Absolutely.
This year. And that's a fair point as well. Not a surprise today. Micheál Donoghue was, I thought, quite surprising. We all expected that Kevin Walsh would be in some jeopardy after the defeat to Mayo. It's rather dragged on, but he's now gone. And we are going into September without a manager for the senior hurlers and senior footballers in Galway.
Yeah, we are. I'm not sure either decision surprises me that much, just from murmurings I've been hearing at home. I think it's probably the right decision for Kevin personally and professionally. I won't pretend to know the man very well. Obviously, no more than yourself, probably a hero of childhood, watching him play football back in the day. This giant of a man who then suddenly became a manager. For me, it was a big difference, you know, for over the years you're watching him all your life, so to speak, and then becoming a manager. And I think a lot of the commentary around Kevin Walsh's management has been unkind when we consider the doldrums where Galway was when he came in. Possibly because we have a little bit of notion about ourselves in the county that we expect ourselves to be playing pretty fluid, beautiful football. But when they were doing that, it wasn't working out that well. They were being clattered out the gate by Mayo, as an example, which never goes down well in County Galway. They were in huge, huge danger of slipping down to Division 3. And he came in with the target of being more competitive. He's certainly done that. I think he's brought them as far as he could go. I think he possibly gave as much as he could give. I do think, though, that hopefully history might be a bit kinder to him than some of the analysis and things that were said about him maybe in the last year or two.
Very well said. We've Danny Cummins on the line, a.k.a. the baby Jesus. We'll get to Danny in a moment. I think he's laughing, which would suggest the baby Jesus moniker actually does exist, because there's a mate of mine that suggested that it does. But in fairness to Kevin Walsh, I will remember Kevin Walsh for the giant of a midfielder he was in those iconic days in the 90s and slightly into this century, where he was that old-style midfielder. And I think history should judge his managerial career on the balance of the 5 years. But one thing that I did find interesting when we were researching this show is you've done your share of interviews with Kevin this year. And I found, maybe to a lesser extent with Joe Schmidt that we were referencing earlier, but I found there was a kind of a prickly element to it, whereas I think he resented people's opinions on what was going on in Galway. And as we heard inadvertently earlier on, where Gough was referenced, I think he had disdain for a lot of people's views because a lot of people didn't like the football he was playing, for one thing.
I found, again, kind of got to know him a little bit over the years. I never proclaimed to know any manager, really, because, you know, we only see their persona after games or emotions are running high or press days. But in fairness, I've had a few chats with him, and I think, to be fair to the man, he has no time for guff. It bothered him. I used to say to him, it shouldn't let you bother you. Just do your own thing and get on with it. I said that to everyone who say things bother them, because jeepers, if we took offence to every time somebody said anything about us, you know, it'd be hard to get out of bed sometimes. At the same time, it's hard to let things like that go. And I think he felt that he was taking that on board himself, and his players were taking criticism that they didn't deserve either. I think, to be fair to the man, as I found over the last few years, that he would take constructive criticism, from what I can gather, from what I've heard from people involved in Galway. Obviously, Danny would be much more capable of explaining this. It's not that Kevin didn't listen to criticism, didn't listen to analysis, but he resented, I think, the narrative being set by particular pundits, as he put it, who weren't going to games, who didn't understand the ins and outs, and didn't really understand, well, perhaps there was reason why, a very good reason why Galway was playing the way they were. And you can't argue, while it mightn't be the prettiest game, was that his fault? I'm not sure it was. It was the calibre of players he had. And let's not forget the massive injury list he had this year. Other counties, and again, people may say, I will say this, I'm from Galway. Other counties made a very big deal of the amount of injuries they had. He never made a big, massive song and dance about it. And can you imagine, without Damien Comer, that is like Kerry playing without John O'Shea.
As well, like, so
and Paul Conroy. Yeah. I mean, Peter Cook, who was amazing when he came back playing for the Mayo game. I just made a list out here, the ones that I could remember off the top of my head while I was mitching off school earlier today. Tom Flynn, Killian McDade, Eamon Brannigan, Sean Kelly, Gareth Bradshaw, Kieran Malloy, Declan Kine, Adrian Varley, and no Cara Finn players for the league.
Yeah, we must laud Danny Cummins for coming on the line. It's always difficult for a player in the circumstances of a manager obviously leaving after so long. But Danny did message earlier to say, that'll get me out of the warm-up for club training this evening. Are you there, Danny?
I'm sitting in the car here in Clare Galway.
So you're basically all the Clare Galway boys are flat out, and you're in the car on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. You timed it well, Johnny. You timed it well.
I met you quite recently, and obviously, you've plenty of interest in racing, and I suppose you've a good rounded interest in sports. You will appreciate that Galway football has been among the, I suppose, conversation for this summer since the Mayo game. But it must be hard because you've soldiered long and hard 5 years with Kevin Walsh, and this day has come.
Yeah, it is. And in fairness, I think Maura made some good points there as well of just, like, more so we'll say the state of Galway football when Kevin got involved. He really, really steadied the ship for us there a couple of years ago. And we were getting places, in fairness. We'd a good structure in there. And I think, obviously, this year was a disappointment from all sides, we'll say, between players and management and everyone involved. And it's just kind of evolved from there a lot. Kevin seems to have taken a lot of the flak for that. But ultimately, him leaving, I suppose. I know maybe some might say it wasn't a surprise, but I thought maybe the way the couple of weeks were going on, I thought he might actually stay around at this stage. But obviously then Micheál Donoghue, who has since gone, he's obviously had his chat with the county board or whatever goes on in the background, and decided to step away. So it is disappointing that way. I suppose when I came in first in 09, I'm 10 years in there now. The first 5 years of my inter-county career had four different managers. So you'd appreciate, I suppose, Kevin being in there for 5 years, what structures and stuff he got in place. And that'll be very important, I suppose, too, to whoever takes over. That we get someone in that's kind of looking that way as well for the next 2 or 3 years with the group of players that we have. That a lot of our core players are in their prime or coming to their prime. So it's an important time as well for Galway football as well.
You made an interesting point there about him taking the flak. And did you get a sense that it was a burden on him? Because I thought it manifested itself in interviews that he was maybe feeling that sort of criticism from within the county. Certainly I know a lot of people at home in Galway that resented the way we were playing. But Kevin, obviously, he persevered with his philosophy. Did it feel like that this pressure was building on him?
I don't know if I'd say it all on him. I suppose you could feel it building a lot this year. In previous years, I suppose, say the outside noise that is social media and journalists and commentators, whatever you want to put it, it did seem a lot louder this year. But that's kind of what's developed in the last couple of years and what we've accomplished in getting back competitive, I suppose, really. Ultimately, like, when he came in, we got a couple of clippings from Mayo. We hadn't won a Connaughton Cup a couple of years, and when we got them on board and we started competing in the latter end of the championship, I suppose the tension magnified a bit more on them. And ultimately there's a lot more criticism in that, and the noise we'll say around Galway, like people outside of the camp will say that, and obviously within the camp, our aim anymore wasn't to beat Mayo or it wasn't to win a Connacht title, it was to get competitive at the end of the year. So I'd say I'll only put it down to that. I suppose sometimes you can be devil of your own success, I suppose, whatever you want to put it. What we accomplished in previous years that kind of ultimately grown into that.
I don't know the answer to this. You're a fairly dynamic old style forward player, but what is our style of football at the moment, and could it be changed? Have we become too focused on kind of a possession game?
I wouldn't necessarily say that now, Johnny. In fairness, obviously, there's a lot of talk about the defensive system that he'd put in, but like if you look at the games before Kevin got involved there, like we got some awful clippings there now at Mayo over the years, and shipped some big scores. So that was something that had to be addressed first things. And ultimately, when we did do that, I suppose the last year or two, I suppose maybe we just didn't evolve enough from that platform that we got in, because we had that good structure in there. Obviously, we want to develop more so in the forwards, because we have some top class forwards in there. But then if you look at the Mayo game this year, where literally, I suppose, we did neither. We neither played well going forward, and our defensive structure that we have just wasn't there on the day. So that kind of blew up in our face a small bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
Danny, can I ask you, you might be in a better position, actually you're in a much better position to answer this than me or Johnny, who are just on the outside looking in. I just thought it was very interesting, the statement that Kevin Welsh sent out at the end of the day, where he basically said there are great things to come for Galway football. Having had the opportunity to work with professionals at the top of their field over the last number of years, I would like to see the recommendations in our report to the county board, which included facilities and equipment, operations, alignment and development of underage teams through the senior level, finance, competition structures, player development and welfare, medical screening and deep level coaching continue to be implemented in the interests of Galway football going forward. Now, what I'm gathering from that is perhaps a thinly veiled shot basically saying this stuff needs to continue and it needs to get better. And I know as well that might have been some points of contention as well, Michael Donoghue and the county board. Like, the county board flux situation that we have in Galway at the moment has to be a factor in this as well. I know Mark Gotcha coming in should maybe steady the ship a little bit. He's been appointed financial operations manager. But when you haven't got a county board that's steering the ship positively and constructively, I don't know, I do sometimes wonder, what can a manager do to a certain point? Was that a factor?
It possibly was. Like, in fairness, like at certain stages, your hands could be tied as a county manager. Now, I don't envy the position that they're in and the conversations that they have to go and have with county board members and people outside of that scenario to get what they need or what they want. But, I don't know the full scenario of the Micheál Donoghue background. And obviously, I only know bits and pieces to do with Kevin. But you do hear a lot, right, that they have to fight for a lot of them sort of things, which doesn't sound too well. And, like, that obviously everyone's in the one boat with regards to GAA. We all want the best for it. But them sort of conversations, they need to be had and need to be had in a constructive sort of a way, in fairness. What sort of an impact that had in the end, to be perfectly honest with you, I'd say anyone, unless you're in that room with them, I'd say you won't hear the truth about that more. It'll only be rumours that'll be going around about this, that and the other, but I wouldn't know for sure, I'm afraid.
It does seem to be more, so it does seem to be a real issue for both the hurlers and football fraternity now, where we're really not sure financially how this thing is going to work out in the future. A few years at this stage.
Absolutely, and not only them, but the ladies footballers as well, and the Camogie team. I know for a fact from speaking to some of the women down in Galway that whatever about Kevin Welsh going begging for money is very, very difficult for the women to sort their things out. And again, this is, I suppose I'll call it informed opinion. I know, like, and Danny, you probably know this yourself, you know, little mini squabbles over who has Loch George. That's the elite training ground that Galway have. Like, things like that. You just can't imagine this kind of stuff happening under Jim Gavin.
No, I'm of course he can't know. And of course, Boys in Blue will always be the benchmark for every team around. But yeah, I suppose when you think of the different levels, like I know you mentioned the one shining light in Galway at the minute is obviously having our ladies in the football final and the intermediates and seniors in the Camogie final this weekend. But they have their own fights as well. Like, I know since they've been got into the Ireland final that they've been online fundraising and bits and pieces. And a lot of that is just literally to get the girls staying in over hotels or getting them clothes and stuff for the big day. So everyone has their own little fights that way and other. Like, so it is. It's always disappointing when you hear things like them sort of squabbles that are going on. But the problem is, commenting on it is so hard because I literally think a handful of people know the truth of what goes on back there. And
I totally take your point on that. Just a couple of things before we wrap up. There's a lot of quality in this football team, a lot of quality coming in underage, and there are certainly reasons to be positive, I would have thought.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the one thing I'd be thinking as well, whoever is looking at possibly putting their getting involved in Galway football next year or in the year after, whatever we want to look at it. Like, it's not as if we're now looking at Galway that, oh, you know, it's now a rebuilding stage or we need to come in and look at it 3-4 years' time. Like, the lads are there in their prime at the minute that, you know, we should be looking for the next 2 or 3 years to really be going for it again. Like, I know, Johnny, if you want to put it in horse terms, like, if you think of ourselves and Kerry last year when we bet Kerry in Super 8, gets the semi-final versus Dubs, like, and if you think of, like, whatever, two horses that way, I know from some of the tips you gave, you like to forgive a horse a run. Like, if you forgive this year with Galway football and you see what Kerry are doing against Dublin and the progress they made there in 1 year, like, we're not a million miles away, so...
It's funny you say that, because actually after the game in the Gaelic grounds, I was asking lads what price would Galway be to win the All-Ireland next year, because I've seen enough there. Granted, Dublin will be very hard to beat, but when you do see the likes of Rochford, John Dively and Pádraig Joyce obviously mentioned, it kind of gives you some inspiration that this is a job, it's far from the worst job in the country, put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to think people are that's the way, if them lads are interested, that they're thinking about it. I'm sure there'll be people willing to put their hat in as well. So I imagine it is quite appealing that way.
Without putting words in your mouth now, Dively and Joyce is it's a tantalising prospect for a lad of my age, thinking of these lads in 98 and so on.
It is. But I know from gentle lads early on this year, I think when they took over the 20s job this year, they had the idea of having that for 2 or 3 years. And then possibly maybe having a tilt at the senior job.
Sure.
So I would say, so like, but see, the thing is now, I'm sure if he is looking at that, if them lads are looking to get involved, they'll know whoever gets in there now will be there for maybe 3, 4, 5 years. So they might reconsider and look into it now as well. So
beautifully, yeah, course, diplomatic, you know, answers, Danny. Got to be said. Yeah, you're kind of like tipping a horse each way here.
Yeah. No, but in fairness, like even when Kevin came in straight away, like he got the respect of the dressing room straight away because everyone know what he'd accomplished on the field. And that'll always play a part, Johnny, as well.
Exactly.
So if them lads are interested, you know, and they obviously know a lot to do with football and the personnel in there as well, so that would be a huge, huge advantage straight away.
I'm aware that anybody listening to this would say this is the Galway Hour loving, and to be completely objective...
Do you remember the Love Hour on Galway Bay FM?
Yeah, I do. Still remember the Love Hour, yeah. I do.
You'd find out you're madly in love with some girl who was kind of down the road.
People be texting in on your behalf.
One last question for Danny. Danny, were you ever in the Love Hour?
I wasn't.
Not a bad looking lad, or Danny.
No, he's all right. I'd say he'd have done well in the Love Hour. But anyway, let's not go down that tangent. Speaking of lovins and this kind of stuff, I know people listening might say we're being far too forgiving and seeing this in Galway coloured glasses. Like, when you look back on the last 2 years, there were some great performances, some great days out for a Galway fan. But also two performances stand out for me that were poor. Obviously the Monaghan performance that we were able to brush off and say, I sure look at Galway already qualified, they didn't really need to, and sure you have to beat Dublin at some point, why not, in the semi-final was one. And then the other one this year as well, obviously, was that Roscommon game. So that Roscommon game, you can't just blame the fact that so many players were injured. Obviously, yes, Roscommon were on the up and they've really improved. But the Galway, it was a game of two halves in the Monaghan game. How much of that was down to Kevin, do you think, or how much was that down to the players in the field not perhaps stepping up, maybe a lack of leadership on the field?
Of course, yeah. And like, this isn't everyone blaming Kevin now that he's gone or whatever, and that was the reason, like, because ultimately the whole team is players, management, is everyone involved. But it's not as if, I know we went into that game as favourites and all that, but it's not as if we went in red hot form either. Like, we literally stuttered over our first two games in London and Sligo, and I suppose I didn't think about it early on again today. Like, when you think back to that Tyrone game, we were doing fairly well in the league. And that Tyrone game that we absolutely collapsed in the second half, that really kind of stuttered us a small bit, I suppose. And then we kind of, whatever way that the start of the championship went, it didn't go all that well. The Rossi game just kind of, it was gone before you know it as well, sort of a way that we were kind of like...
Because I just remember sitting in the car. I wasn't at that game. I was working at Hurling, and I do remember saying that I heard the commentator saying the referee Barry Cassidy has announced 8 minutes. I was thinking, thank God, 8 minutes for them to do something, and it still didn't work. It's like everything was given, and still there was something missing. Was that just because, like you said, it was a stuttering year, or was it just, I don't know, a point of psychological wall that they couldn't get over?
No, I would say it was a bit part of the stuttering, I suppose, but then. Like psychology side of things, like we've had that issue over years, and we've addressed it and moved on. But then, when you suppose you're on, but they have an experience out on the pitch. Like I remember at one stage in that Mayo game. Now I was sitting on the bench as well, and Paul Connery was beside me, and Garrett Bradshaw was the far side. Now Garrett wasn't tugged, but I was thinking obviously us three and Gary O'Donnell be the four oldest, and I was looking out, and you're kind of feeling helpless. Looking out on the lads, hoping you could get out there and give an effect, or maybe grab a sneaky onion and, or something like the lines, or just something just to steady up the ship and help out a bit. But them sort of experience will only help the lads that were there and the lads that are involved. So please God, we'll learn from that now in the next year or two and make something out of it, you know.
I think I can hear your manager roaring at you there to actually get out in the training ground. Danny, thanks a million for coming on.
No worries, Johnny. Thanks very much.
Top man we might see in the stall.
Perfect, sounds good, man.
Moira Trasa, thanks for coming in. We have a raft of texts about this after the break, if you stay with us.
Can you hear my stomach rumbling?
I can now, actually. That's to do with the onions.
Let's talk about Dively sausages. I think came into my head as he mentioned John Dively.
Absolutely. Let's go to some ads. GAA on Off the Ball.